I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. How will Americans bring their individual experiences with race into the voting booth? It's a question National Public Radio has been trying to understand. There's an ongoing series of discussions with a group of 15 voters from diverse racial backgrounds in York, Pennsylvania. Here's a sample.
I don't know if I can see another old white man as president.
I don't think there's to be a problem with a black man. I personally just don't think Obama's the right one.
But what would make you think Palin would be?
Right now, McCain is the man. The only way you are no longer a Muslim is if you are dead.
I'm going to vote for Obama. And one of my reasons is because he is black.
NPR's series on race is a collaboration between Morning Edition and All Things Considered. It's anchored by Steve Inskeep and Michelle Norris. And Michelle joins us now. How are you?
Hey, Farai.
So you've said you often leave discussions about race thinking there was so much left unsaid. So first of all, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it's a difficult topic. I mean, people usually sort of skirt around the edges. It's laden with all kinds of emotion. People feel pain. People feel guilt. People feel confusion. And as journalists, we often sit down and talk to people in 15, 20 minute, maybe half hour chunks. And it's hard to peel away all those emotions in a short period of time. And so the idea for these series of conversations is just that, is that it would be a series of conversations that we would go back time and time again to help people get into their comfort zone, get comfortable with each other, get comfortable with us, and spend a good deal of time with them. These conversations, we've now had two. We spoke to this group of voters in September, and we're just there recently in October. And each of these conversations lasted 3 hours, and they began with a good meal. We thought food was an important part of this. And what we realized is that it takes time for people to not just get comfortable, but to get courageous, so that they'll say things that sometimes are impolitic, sometimes are offensive. And I'm convinced that in both of our conversations with these voters, that we got to a place that we wouldn't have reached if we just sat down for 15 or 20 minutes or even an hour. It took a lot of time to really peel away those layers.
I remember one moment where you're asking, when do you think about race? And someone said, right now. Like, you know, because, hey, we're on the spot. At certain points, people are accused, people in the media, of overemphasizing our differences. Were they afraid of being misrepresented?
Some were and some weren't. There was a lawyer who participates in the discussions. He is a registered Republican. And when the local paper did a story about our series of conversations, they identified him as a white Republican. And he said when he saw that in the paper, it was jarring for him because he never thought of himself being described in that way. He said, I've never just thought of myself as having a label affixed to my name, and it was really uncomfortable for me. And when he was saying this, there were several people in the color in the room who were nodding their heads saying, well, welcome to our world.
Speaking of welcome to our world, one thing I've noticed is that, you know, we talk about black folks, we talk about white folks. There's no question that you have to talk about blackness. But you've also included people who are not black and not white. So how do you think Latinos and Asians in particular are faring in this election in terms of feeling represented or sought out or given their say?
The Latinos thought that their issues have been somewhat overlooked. And broadly, when we talk about race in America, that discussion is so often about blacks and whites. And that was, you know, that's striking because if we think back to when Barack Obama in Pennsylvania, by the way, delivered that important speech on race, he cast it primarily in black and white terms. He mentioned Latinos or Hispanics, but it was really only in passing reference. And as for people who are Muslim or are from the Arab world or are from South Asia, they really feel, at least based on the experiences of Muhammad Khan, who was in the room, that this is sort of an ancillary issue for them, that when they are included in the discussion, it's often in a very painful way because of the way that the word Muslim has been co-joined or linked to the word terrorist. There are several people in the room that are either the product of mixed marriages, involved in mixed marriages, have mixed marriages within their immediate family. And so the whole notion of multiculturalism was something that was center. It was a real focus of the second discussion that we had, not just the black and white issue, but what it means to be multicultural and how people define themselves, how the world defines them. The question that we often get from our listeners: Barack Obama is often described as being black or African American. People will write in and tell us, but wait a minute, isn't he multicultural? Why aren't we saying that? Why do we call him black? And why don't we, and we do call him black, aren't we ignoring or downplaying his white heritage as well?
Well, Michelle, it's great to talk to you. Thank you.
Farai, it's been great to be with you.
Michelle Norris is co-host of NPR's All Things Considered. She joined us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C. You can hear all of the installments of NPR's series on race. Just go to our website at npr.org. And their next trip to York is on November 11th, right after the election.